Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
Hub Arkish.
Hub Score Stories time from the rock and roll file. Young Hub Arkish got a chance to see Pete Townsend. He's celebrating a birthday today. He's 75.
Some people have a hard time explaining rock and roll. I don't think anyone can really explain rock and roll. Maybe Pete Townsend.
The Who, I believe your favorite band.
Pete Townsend, Moon was an incredible drummer. John Entwistle, a lot of people think, is, you know, the best bass player ever. Townsend's the interesting character because in those days he was writing it all, and he had that signature move, the, you know, the 360
the
arm swing on the chords. Yeah.
But you must really love his music, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
You're damn right he is.
Right.
So tell me, what's your favorite song of his?
Other than that, I think he was a bit overrated as a lead guitarist. You go back and listen to a lot of the Who stuff. It's great music either way, but he was certainly never in a Keith Richards or Eric Clapton type class.
Meh.
But the TV gave me the impression that
we said meh. M-E-H. Meh.
But they were just a great, great band. And
yeah, I had a feeling you'd say that today.
It's good to see you. You have terrible taste in music.
I think he was a bit overrated.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out. Mac and Parkins on The Score, where anybody at any time can be overrated.
I demonstrated earlier today why it's great to watch movies over and over again, more things you pick up that you really appreciate. Same thing with Chris Tannehill's Opens. I didn't catch the connection the first time through. I thought it was simply musical in reference. The scene he chose from Office Space with Michael Bolton, who was not a fan of Michael Bolton, the pop singer, and had to tell the two Bobs that he was, that's Hub. He picked that out because that's Hub on any question you ask him to bite on. Because Michael Bolton was so indifferent and didn't really answer their question. The long pregnant pause? That's beautiful.
It's the layers within the show.
Oh, my God, is that perfect.
Was that what you were going for, Tanny?
Obviously, yeah.
My God. I didn't pick up on it the first time through. That's Michael Bolton's impersonation of Hub Arkish answering a Danny Parkin football question.
I pictured like Max excited to get Hub going, give him a Who question, and watch him go, and then Hub just like, now it's a bit overrated.
Yeah, it's not just me. Like, that's the thing. He will take the wind out of anybody's sail. Don't you worry. He can wet blanket with the best of them. So. I'm already looking forward to next Tuesday at 4:00. That's the thing. That's what
you're
Hub
looking
does.
Forward to tomorrow. You got a little time off. Tomorrow is the 44th day of quarantine, and you have not had a day off yet. I've taken four of them off, so enjoy your time tomorrow and Friday. Rent an RV and go to the great state of Michigan. So Steph has a place to pee. Right in the vehicle there. Just pull over to the side of the road. Don't do it while you're driving. Get off the highway and let her do that. But that's what you should do.
You know, it's interesting. Like you, I was trying to think about, you know, safe, because yeah, I'm taking off Thursday, Friday, and Monday for Memorial Day, kind of do the 5-day recharge. But other than maybe around a golf, it's like, what? You got the baby. You can't risk the baby. You got to socially distance. Like, hopefully the weather's nice. We'll do walks, maybe do a picnic in the park. But I found myself envious of your ability to be a bit nomadic and your fishing hobby. Like, it's just there aren't that many things that you can do where you feel safe. And I can't just continuously leave every I can't golf every day and just leave her at home for 6-7 hours with a newborn. So I got to really pick my spots for that. So yeah, I was looking if anyone on the text line can submit a safe, socially distant, responsible, with a newborn day trip from the Chicago area. And that's a lot of qualifiers.
Oh,
like it's tough to Google that. If you've got any suggestions, I am very open to them.
Your wife needs a breather. You know, you get the show for 6-8 hours a day, however many hours, 10-12 hours, whatever you think you put into it. It's at least 6-8, probably more. You get that at least as a break. She doesn't have a diversion right now. So I would put the focus on your wife right now. She's been through a lot as you have, but she hasn't had anything to take her attention away from the fact that she's staying home all the time. And Owen requires a lot of attention right now still. And I think you should do something very, very nice that she wants to do. I don't know if an over the road trip is something that you guys would like together. But if you're talking about five days, you could rent an RV that you would be able to handle for about $200 a day if you wanted to do something like that.
Man, it's like the idea of changing the backdrop that significantly when you've got all of this stuff for a baby, right? You got to have the machine for the formula, and you got to have, you know, his crib and his changing table and all the stuff that comes with it. That you don't need to bring a changing table. I'm sure there's a table where you can figure it out in the RV. I don't think we're the RV family. I'm just going to put it out there. Like I got to learn what a pheasant is versus a ferret first. I don't know, but I think I could figure out the driving component of it. Everything else with it seems a little overwhelming, frankly. But I think, like you said, I'm gonna just focus on, you know, taking some of the load off her in terms of the workload and all of that. Trying to get away from my phone and the news and trying to, you know, the grind of 4 hours a day of content with no sports. I'm looking forward to just unplugging a little bit. But I read something about this town in Michigan with all the tulips. Are you hip to this area?
Is that Holland?
Holland, Michigan. Yeah. It looks beautiful.
Southwest Michigan is a wonderful place to go, and it's not too far across the border, really. You don't have to go more than an hour into the great state of Michigan before you find a lot of cool things to do touristy wise. Yeah, do it.
I was thinking maybe we drive there. You could park the car. You wear your masks. You can find a hike. Go look at some flowers. Go see a little bit of wilderness. My buddy in New York, he just last weekend. Saturday, you know, in New York's as much of a hotbed as it is here, drove to Niagara Falls just to like change the backdrop, get some wilderness. It was him, his wife, and his daughter. Just walked around, saw one of the seven wonders, got back in the car, drove back into the city. But it felt like it would be a nice little refresh, a little reset for the soul. So I don't know about RVing and camping or anything like that, but maybe it's just a day trip to walk around outdoors somewhere seemed pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, I hope you find something, and I hope some people might have some help for you via text. The idea of parkings in an RV is laughable. Probably is. He could handle it. If I could, you know, if he'd be trained to drive it, that's all. There's not too much trouble you can get into in just a few days in an RV, but that's pretty funny. You know, I am on pins and needles over something I might not be able to do this summer, but it's Jermaine Ifedi, the new Bears backup offensive lineman. It's Jermaine to something we talked about early in the show, and that's the need people have for sports and how we're seemingly willing to put that ahead of common sense. and people fired back at both you and me. It's easy to say, well, you guys are working, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I am willing to sacrifice everything. I will not feel sorry for myself for one second if I were to lose my job. And my favorite thing to do in the world is go to Canada. Canadian borders are not going to reopen until at least June 21st. There is an outstanding chance I will not be fishing my favorite place in the world this year. And I accept that. That goes with the territory during a pandemic. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to say, I need this. I'll find something else to do, which is what I would encourage everybody to do who is really missing sports so much, where they think these ball players and anybody affiliated with the game of baseball should put their asses on the line and go to work during times that are uncertain and during a pandemic where it's very, very easy to get infected and while playing that game.
Yeah, listen, people hear what they want to hear, and that's why it's getting so frustrating. Like, I want to be the diversion and talk about all the nonsense that we do and, you know, Shep's crazy movie takes, trying to entertain Hub Arkish, Michael Jordan eating the pizza. Like, that's what I like to do. But I just share my feelings of honesty. So, like, if I'm feeling anxious about this stuff or I'm feeling down about it, some days, by the way, I'm feeling really positive about it. And I'm like, oh, man, we're gonna get through this. Everything's going to be fine. Other days, I'm like, oh, my God, don't check your 401k, and it's going to be a year at least until any sort of normalcy. Like, that's just how I feel. It depends on the news and what I read. And if you feel like you have every answer to this, then so be it. Congratulations. You're more secure and a better person than I am. But, yeah, it's been weird to me to watch this stuff happen and unfold and say, like, not before we even get team sports back or even approach getting team sports back, having the most powerful athletic director or one of them in the country be like, yeah, we're going to have 30,000 people at amateur athletic events this fall. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're on step 9 when we're on step 2. That's ridiculous. Reading that story at ESPN.com about what the proposal is for the players, not the finances, but come to the ballpark in your stadium, shower at your hotel after the games, no spitting, no high-fiving. Like, that is...
No chance.
No chance. No chance of that happening. And so I think what's going to happen is sports will start, and then they'll stop, and then they'll start, and then they'll stop, and we're going to kind of backslide a little bit. That's just how I feel today. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe it'll change. But it's so weird to me that triggers people in so many different directions. And it turns into, well, you have a job, you don't want sports to come back, you're fine, you just get paid to talk for 4 hours at home. Maybe I won't have a job. Trust me, I make more money when there are sports. This sucks. I want it to return. I'm rooting for it to return. I'm just not going to blow smoke and pretend like this is, like, easy. There's so many people that are like, ah, this is just a hoax, it's a conspiracy, open it back up, it's a plot to take down the president. I'm like, oh, okay. These owners, they're not all liberal. Like, they want sports to resume. Major League Baseball takes place in 27 different cities. It's very different, this virus, in Chicago than it is Kansas City. It just is. Like, talk to people outside of your own little circle, and you realize, like, I know people who I am friends with who do not believe in this at all because they don't see the effects of it right outside their door and right where they live. It's very regional. So, and
yes, it is.
I just think it's complicated.
When the people from cities like Chicago or New York or other any place that's had high problems go to those places where it's not been as prevalent, that's when the second wave begins. That's when other smaller places, less inhabited places, have hospital problems because they won't know what to do with it. I mean, I hope everybody has a plan in place, just because you're a city of what, you know, 2 million or fewer than that, but more than a half million. You better be prepared for this sort of thing because it is going to get to you at some point. That much is inevitable. And I think the sooner we resume activity is the sooner that happens.
Yeah. So again, I hope to be wrong with my fears and my doubts. I hope that they start it up, it goes well, and it ends. I hope. We're also at 30 million plus unemployed and 90,000 plus dead. So it's just serious and it's complicated. And if you talk to anybody affiliated with any of these leagues or teams, on air, off air, but more off air, off the record stuff, they are talking about how many hoops they have to jump through to maybe get to a point where they're going to be able to play a season. And they're not saying that those hoops are like ridiculous bureaucratic red tape. It's like, oh my God, to figure out a way to let 30 guys on a baseball roster, plus the coaches, plus the managers, plus the umpires, play baseball, and travel, and stay in a hotel, and interact with their family, and at some level interact with each other, right? Batter to catcher to umpire, first baseman to runner on first, right? You can't have everybody be 6 feet apart in team sports, not to even mention the NBA or the NFL or anything like that. Man, when you just start to think of like the logistical actual implementation of it, it's really damn hard. And it's just so easy for you to get on a message board or get on Twitter or get on our text line and be like, ah, you're fear-mongering, you don't want sports to come back. No, I'm actually thinking about how sports can come back. Like, there's a huge difference between that. And so, like, if you're willing to go to a game tomorrow with 100,000 people in the stands, good for you. Like, honestly, like, yeah. I wouldn't recommend it, but I'm reading a lot about it, and it doesn't seem like that is practical. Speaking of the fans in the stands, I was on Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik's gambling podcast today, and Fezzik is a big-time sports gambler. He's won the Super Contest, the biggest NFL gambling contest in Vegas. He's won it twice. And so I was on their podcast, and we were talking about what will the impact of no fans be on the point spread for home field advantage. You know, normally it's 3 points, and some of the, you know, maybe the Saints or the Seahawks, or, you know, when they're good and their home field is crazy, it can be 3.5, 4 points. He was saying that he thinks this year it could be as low as 1 or 1.5 points in the point spread. But what we were also talking about was just how will it affect the game and the strategy? Like, the Superdome, my contention was a place like the Superdome will go from one of the hardest places in the NFL to nothing, because you want to be in a dome, right? Like, a quiet dome with no crowd noise and then no weather and then a fast turf. Like, it's Packers at Saints week 3. You go from the slow turf and the elements of Lambeau Field, and then you get Aaron Rodgers in a quiet dome. He'll be able to do anything he wants at the line of scrimmage, which he would never be able to do in New Orleans. So I was thinking it would be a bigger disadvantage for teams like that, and then a bigger advantage for like young first, second, third year quarterbacks who can get overwhelmed by the crowd noise and maybe don't know all of the like check with me, hand signal, that type of thing. So like the Kyler Murrays and Drew Locks of the world. What do you think about that, just like that conversation as a whole?
I think there's some strands of truth in your thesis on younger quarterbacks being benefited by this. And I also think it could be true to those who have, you know, have been labeled, whether fairly or unfairly, I guess maybe if it's fairly, as fragile between the years, guys who hear the noise. I saw 2 weeks ago an interview with Sam Darnold about and immediately it's like, you know exactly why somebody wanted to pick up the phone and talk to Sam Darnold about this, because he saw ghosts on Monday Night Football. And he has not necessarily developed a reputation for being unflappable.
Seeing ghosts.
A lot of guys have that. We have one here in town who has that issue, and Mitch Trubisky.
I think that's something we got to keep in-house.
So I think it's viable. There also was discussion, and I hope this doesn't happen, there was discussion of letting the home team pump in fake sound. Like, they have done it historically, but I guess they would amp crowd noise in addition to the music they play with the 15-second rule when an offense breaks its huddle. Still in effect, but you're going to have crowd noise pumped in to give that home team. I hope they don't do that. If you want to do it for the TV audience, fine. Don't do that for the players.
I can't imagine that they will. It just didn't Atlanta get docked a draft pick for pumping in artificial noise on top of their actual fans there. So, like, obviously, if they do it, it'll be regulated. But
yeah,
it doesn't...
there's a lot of places where that goes on.
Yeah, I think Atlanta just got caught. I just that seems so unnecessary. And do it for TV if you want to, like you said. And I think that the opportunities for TV broadcasts to mic up extra players and do more access and innovate and try new things will be awesome if and when sports comes back this year. But the playing in a silent stadium is just going to matter. And I think it's going to matter in ways that we haven't fully considered, like adrenaline, the energy for a pitcher, right? Like coming in, do you play the music for the closer when he runs in from the bullpen?
Business
when there's
as
no
usual,
fans to get pumped up?
As much as you can, business as usual, I guess. You play a guy's walk-up song or a closer, sure. I guess you continue. Try to make it as much of a carnival as you can. Make them feel like it's a little bit more normal, even though obviously it isn't.
So in NBA games, they play music during the game. We're playing music during NBA games with nobody in the stands. Okay, that's fine. Totally reasonable.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird. Will players get up for it in the exact same way? Hey, good question on the text line. Will the Bear Raid siren be there? Like, what we calling it incomplete? Yeah, I know. But are we calling it, you know, incomplete pass? Are we getting the Vikings horn? Like, what types of things are they going to do with no fans to rile up? Like, because the precedent is that one game. Right, the one White Sox Orioles game when there was the tragedy and the protests in Baltimore, and they played without fans like that for American team sports. That's our precedent, and a regular season White Sox Orioles game is not exactly the most raucous of atmospheres. So I just don't think we've fully thought through. Like, not that we shouldn't do it; we absolutely should if it can be safe. But I just think it's going to have an impact both on the actual like competitive balance of the teams and on our viewing experience.
Yeah, I think you're right on both cases. We got a lot of good reaction that's come in on this, and also some recommendations on what you might want to consider doing with your little 5-day respite you've got beginning in about, less than an hour from now. You're on holiday for a little bit, as I like to say holiday. That aggravates some people sometimes. That's okay. But
Everything does.
Some good stuff we'll have to get to in a little bit. I have been looking for the last 20 minutes at Mitch Rosen standing by my pool along with our former market manager, Jimmy DeCastro. They've been standing in my backyard since we started the 5 o'clock hour. So as we hit a break here, I'm going to go see what in the heck they're doing in my backyard. I have no idea why they would be in the neighborhood, but they sure are, and they popped in to say hello.
Wow. That's
how about that?
Well, say hello. Say hello to Jimmy. I'm in touch with Mitch plenty, but say hello to Jimmy for me. And we will report back, both on my people's suggestions for me and what the hell they're doing in your backyard, coming up on The Score.
Looks like Mitch Rosen to me.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Station. What do you mean? Vacation. He says he needs a vacation. He needs some time off to let loose. If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation.
Very excited to take a little time off for a few days. Refresh. Hang with Owen. Hang with Steph. Come back ready to go. On Tuesday, Mark Grody will be in. I know he makes you happy, Mac. How was Jimmy DiCastro and Mitch Rosa?
I still have employment. That's what some of our texters suspected, that they came here personally to give me the news that I will not be on anymore. You know what? And that thought did occur to me when I first saw them, but they looked so
Jimmy
happy.
Jimmy wouldn't be there.
No, yeah, Jimmy probably wouldn't be here unless he had a job he wanted to offer me with one of his ventures that he's doing now, which it would be a good possibility. That would be the first call I make if I get popped, would be Jimmy. The second one would be Mike Webb at Webb Ford.
There you go.
With fingers crossed that I don't have to go sit in the cubicle and slap Frankie for 12 hours today, hoping for a $100 mini deal. Because you can do that. You can make $100 when you sell a $50,000 vehicle. It's true. Jimmy was, they brought me gifts, and they are en route to see you very, very soon. It won't be today, but they're hitting Indiana today. They're going over to see David Haw right now. Brought me some fantastic meats from the Chop Shop, which is not far from your house, Parkins. Chop
yep.
Shop is located at 2033 West North Avenue. You can visit them online at chopshopshy.com. That's chopshopshy.com. Chop, chop, chop. That's a good one. And I look forward to digging into some of these meats and golf balls, a box of Titleists, and a bag of meat. So they came bearing gifts and not bad news. So that's very good. And you will be seeing them very, very soon as well.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
So how was the – so just the unannounced pop-in, huh? Just
yeah.
walked – All right.
Yeah, just the unannounced flyby. That's how both of those guys roll on occasion. It was so weird. I mean, Sherry never walks in here during the show. And,
yeah.
And she was reminded of why she doesn't at around 5:07. Because I'm looking at her like, what? And she's pointing at the window. I'm sitting in the chair. And she's pointing in the window like, look outside. And I didn't. I'm like, I really don't care if the pool company is here, if that's what she's trying to say, unless they're having sex in the backyard or something. But she's pointing in the backyard. So finally, she doesn't leave. So I stand up 2 minutes later, and I see Mitch and Jimmy wearing masks and waving at me. So it was good to see them. That was a very nice gesture. Men of gestures are men who know my love language, because I deflect. I do the same thing for others, thinking that's going to mean the same thing it does for them, what it does for me. And that's a mistake that we can make in our relationships that I've made historically. Don't expect anything in return, because that's not why you do it. It's not about reciprocity. One of the things I learned from my mother. And so anyway, you'll be getting some fine meats and golf balls soon as well.
Spoiler alert. Jeez. Tell me what's in the present before Christmas morning. No, that's very exciting. That's very nice of them. And you know, Mitch, they're people pleasers, Mitch and Jimmy, right? They want to make people happy. So that's
Peoria,
very nice.
Yeah, Peoria Matt is correct. It's better to receive meat than wind up hanging in the meat truck. Like Carbone. It would take them more than it took to get Carbone's body thawed, because I'm much thicker. It took them 3 days for him to get thawed to do an autopsy. It would take him 5 days for me.
Well, you know, at least you know. Do you have any plans with Mark Grody for the days I'm gone? Anything fun?
We're going to talk tonight, but we both are looking forward to the next documentary, which is less than a month away. It's still down the road a bit. It's on June 14, I think, is when we get our Great Home Run Race of 98 documentary, and it's not a 10-part series. It's only a one-hour program. That much is disappointing after having so many episodes to look forward to in The Last Dance. Not that it would have deserved 10 one-hour episodes, but they could have gone deeper. But we're both looking forward to that because, like you, that was a fun summer for Grody. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. And on Friday, we are going to do Chicago movies at length. As you know, he is a huge movie buff, and he has seen more than The Fugitive. So we're going to try to get a hold of Michael Phillips, maybe from The Trib, and see what he thinks about the greatest movies or his favorite movies ever made in Chicago. And that's going to be fun. And just follow the news of the day and see what's going on. Probably do some Bears conversation because that's been his baby these last couple of years. And I am always ready to talk football, which I think will be a reality for us here in America in 2020. I think the NFL will play games come the fall. I don't know if it'll be September, but there's going to be NFL football this year.
There will be. And there's a thing today that they're committed to a full schedule. I hope that they can pull that off. I was thinking about, like, over-unders, right? Like, I was like, okay, the Giants are at 6.5. I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. So I'd like to take the under on 6.5. But what happens if they play 12 games? Like, they would just refund your money because those numbers are based on a 16-game season. So why would I want to, you know, tie up a couple $100 in a over-under bet for a team if it's going to be refunded? Like, I can just put that in right before the start of the season. So that sort of thing's complicated. But I will say, I do think sports gambling is going to come back in a massive, massive way. Like, all these states that are having this economic problems, like, if you were 50-50 or 60-40 against sports gambling being legalized, like, you're going to need the money. So I think that when sports return and when we get through this, I think sports gambling is not just, you know, in Illinois where it got legalized and with our good friends over at Rivers who had just opened up the sports book only to close it, you know, days after when the whole sports world shut down. But I think sports gambling is going to come back massively in like the 12 to 24 months after normalcy returns, whenever that is.
People are going to be so excited to have a place to go and have a live sporting event to watch. And, you know, maybe with some good fortune in their finances and a return to work, a return to 100% of the salary if they've taken pay cuts, taken furloughs, whatever it is that's troubled them. When that returns to being what you're used to, you're going to want to spend some of it. Whether you should or not isn't going to enter the equation. You're going to treat yourself, and I think you're right. I think the sports books are going to prosper enormously, as I hope every retail outlet does. Those who have the fiscal backing to stay alive. And, man, the major discount stores, salute. Amazon, Walmart, those stores are doing so well right now because it's all about home delivery, and it's going to force a lot of these little bitty joints and even some chains to close their doors, probably. And it's unfortunate, but I mean, you were talking about stock earlier of Tesla based on the interview you heard. Stock of Amazon just continues to skyrocket because they can't fill enough orders. So people who are Amazon customers are finding other places to go for it. And I guess Walmart is a very good alternative.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon stock is just impervious to anything. And, you know, when you don't really take care of your workers and you can sell people anything without them leaving their homes, it's an absolutely ridiculously successful business model. And Jeff Bezos is evidently going to become the first trillionaire, which was a story that came out last week. But also, like, when you say, like, spending money that they don't have, maybe for some people they will, and obviously no one would condone that for gambling. But when sports return, if you were the type of person that in your entertainment budget, like many people in our audience, whatever you could, you know, budget for entertainment, small amount, large amount, that goes away, right? Like, a lot of, most of us are spending way less money right now. We're not going to games. We're not filling up the gas tank as much. We're not traveling, all of those sort of things. So I think that's going to be part of it too, is that sports will come back, but there won't be 40,000 people at Wrigley on day one. So that percentage of people, right, the percentage of people that could have afforded to pay a few hundred bucks for an opening day ticket, they're not the ones who are hurting the most right now. They'll just convert that and say, oh, well, I'm going to be watching this game. May as well put 200 bucks on it. So I think that's going to be a huge thing for sports gambling also, is that people won't be spending the money on sports that they otherwise would be spending.
Yeah, that's one way to treat yourself. If you're keeping your money in your pocket that you would have spent on tickets and concessions, whatever else you do around your ballpark of choice, that's one way you can go. Or you could just have a nice, you know, you could get a bunch of really good dry-aged steaks from the Chop Shop on North Avenue in the city and just grill it home and not throw caution to the wind because you survived the pandemic and now you can gamble it away. I would guess recklessness these last 9 weeks has been very high. I've seen a little bit about domestic violence, alcoholism, addiction. All of those are way up right now because people are stressed and they're staying home, and tempers are running short, unfortunately. And those things, crime has been bad as well. Home invasions are up.
Yeah,
don't have people. You don't have a retail store to go rob to go buy your $50 worth of rocks, so you bust in someone's house and then go hope to pawn something you steal. How it works.
Always leave them laughing. The Dan McNeil radio lesson. This segment on The Score brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Fed up with companies selling your data? DuckDuckGo is on it. They help millions of people like you take back their privacy online with one download. You can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. Joe Ostrowski coming up in 20 minutes. We'll put a bow on this thing. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score.
Station. Remember when it's the lowest form of conversation.
The McNeil and Parkins Show brings you This Day in Chicago Bulls Playoff History.
Davis tries to take him off the dribble inside. Oakley rejected by Horace Grant, who leads the team in blocks in the playoffs. Great passing. Oh!
This Day in Chicago Bulls Playoff History on the McNeil and Parkins Show on 670 The Score.
Arguably the best dunk in Bulls history. Scottie Pippen putting Ewing on a poster and then going over to Spike Lee on this day, 1994. Just one of many things, Mac. Would have loved a little bit more of a well-rounded version of a story. There's the reports. Mac Kellerman was talking about it today, that Scottie Pippen is very upset with his portrayal in The Last Dance. Listen, he agreed to sit, and he did not apologize for the 1.8 seconds, and he threw that chair, and he had that surgery when he did. So he's got to take some personal responsibility. But I do agree that his value on the court and how talented he was as a basketball player and how respected he was as a teammate and basketball player at that time was not told in the documentary.
Is his beef with the documentary regarding his commentary or the absence of Scottie Pippen was a great basketball player via highlights?
I don't know the answer to that, honestly. Like I am very much looking forward to Scottie Pippen talking.
Scottie Pippen's got to say about all this stuff.
That's right. I'm very much looking forward to hearing his response to it. But I think it's been telling when you've seen, you know, or heard Will Perdue on this station, Horace Grant on the other station, Craig Hodges in some interviews that he's done. Like Stacey King, I heard do an interview on ESPN National. Like, they've pretty much lined up and all talked about how great of a teammate Scottie Pippen was and how beloved he was. Like, that doesn't let him off the hook, right? You heard Steve Kerr and others talk in the documentary about, you know, the 1.8 seconds and that being a low point and how disappointed they are. Bill Cartwright talked about this right here on The Score. But I do think it's worth noting how all of those guys have rallied around Scottie Pippen and said, no, he was a great teammate and they loved him for it.
Well, I mean, I have no reason to distrust their opinion, but what those two acts that were, you know, illuminated in the documentary, the 1.8 seconds and postponing surgery in the summer so he could spend all of his time on the boat and then missing a good chunk of the first half of the season, those things are indefensible. A good teammate with that caveat, you know, I mean, we're all a mixed bag, really. Most of us, not all of us. Some people are perfect. I'm not among them. But Scotty certainly gave guys reason to shake their heads in disgust more than once. And if he was a good teammate in other capacities, I got no reason not to believe those guys. But he didn't treat people very well. And, I think, you know, if he's upset with his quotes, we reap what we sow. He said what he said. That's what That's what he said.
Yeah, I'd be – like that's why I want to hear from him. I'd be surprised if he's upset with his quotes, right? Like, I mean, I loved Scottie Pippen as a basketball player, and I've been saying that the documentary did not – show some of the great things that he did and contributed on the basketball court. But as soon as he said that about 1.8 seconds, I was like, a little follow-up, please. What? That's indefensible, right? Like, so all I'm saying is that those low moments aren't the only thing that define the second-best player in the history of your franchise.
That'll do it.
And that dunk, man. Whew.
Happy birthday.
Badass. To the stepping dunk. Over him and then going over to Spike Lee. Like, that was just – it's one of the coolest dunks ever. One of the coolest dunks in NBA history.
Dunk draft Tuesday.
Oh, I got him for you. Oh, dunk – I mean, let's see. Taj Gibson over Dwayne Wade is maybe the best modern Bulls dunk from, like, the last generation of relevant Bulls basketball. Best dunk in game ever, Vince Carter in the Olympics over the 7-footer. I mean, there's so many. Sean Kemp, one of the most underrated dunkers of all time.
Mac will take Duncan Keith.
I'll take Spud Webb. Anybody 5'6" and a half who can jam that thing through the cylinder gets my vote.
That's very impressive stuff. Thank you to Herb Lawrence, who's been helping out during all of these Scorantine shows. Our guy Joe Ostrowski is coming up next, and I have a guest list. The great Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. Yes, the great Joe Ostrowski. I'd like to hear him weigh in on home field advantage, by the way, that conversation we were having earlier. Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago at 7 o'clock. Jerry Hairston Jr. at 7:30. Jim Miller from Hawthorne Racecourse at 8 o'clock. And was that Dan Percy from CBS Sports will be on the show. Dan Perry. Oh, excuse me. I am an idiot. At 8:30. Thank you to Herb Lawrence. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Scott Podsednik and Steve Stone were our guests today. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Mac, have a good few days, buddy. I will be in touch, but talk to you on Tuesday.
Have a great break. Talk soon.
Thank you, sir. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Well, we didn't do much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.